Hello guys, welcome to a pilot episode of Millennial Heads. We're really excited to be recording today. We know that you've waited a long time and we're finally here.
Yeah, Luis here and Dummy.
Yeah, Dummy here.
We'll be a co-pilot on this amazing journey.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, the first episode might be a bit dicey.
Yeah, because it's our first time recording, but we implore you to stay with us, keep supporting us, and we promise you some really awesome episodes.
Any awkward, please don't message me about any awkward stuff here. Just let me be and let me do my thing.
Yeah, same here. Thanks.
Thanks.
I do not have a serious bone in my body.
Apparently, I feel trapped in this generation and I'm here to vent.
Are people even going to take me seriously?
I'm definitely hilarious. I'll probably be the only one laughing at myself.
I am Damilare Olushake, and even I don't take me seriously.
Luis over here, and I'm not sure I do either.
Is this thing echoing? Is this supposed to happen?
Welcome to Millennial Heads, where we'll be talking about how messed up we all are and how awesome technology is. Oh, there we go again. Right, why do you think anyone should start a business?
I think being in our current age and time, the entire digital age, we are sort of in a phase that most people refer to as the economy of the individual, right? So yeah. What that is people now prefer to start their own businesses and be their own bosses. Mostly because a lot of people don't like to report to other people. They like to be autonomous and do their own thing. So I think largely, yeah, we're going to see, or we are already seeing a lot of people who are moving out of the mold, trying to start their own businesses and do their own things in their own ways. Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, once you get funded, you're going to actually report to people. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah, like you're your own boss, right? But you're getting funded by these people. So at the end of the day, you're going to report to these people.
Yeah, so what I'll say to that is partly you're right, yeah? But also another advantage of being in the digital age is the ease that it provides us to be able to sort of bootstrap these days, because now mostly you don't need to own a brick and mortar sort of like establishment where you have traditional office space. We're seeing a lot of remote companies coming to life, people running their businesses remotely, bringing costs to like a minimum. Right? You're also seeing that really, really all people need these days to start a business is a phone and probably a camera.
Or Instagram.
Yeah, an Instagram. And they could just start up making $1,000 a month or $2,000. And yeah.
Yeah. So like it's very important because it's a bit very, very difficult starting one in Africa. For instance, I have a friend. She started a baking business where she bakes banana bread. And then the most annoying part of what she does is light issues. So she bakes with an electric oven. And then you find out that once she tells the client, okay, I'll deliver it tomorrow, there's no light, she starts panicking, like being anxious and so on. it's like really crazy. And then firstly, like one of the major reasons like why startups fail and so on is like they eventually run out of cash. I mean, just imagine you need to deliver stuff, they have to go out of your way and get like a massive journey you didn't plan to just because you want to start something. I don't know, like it's just really weird.
Okay, so what I'll say again is I understand like the entire issue with the Nigerian startup industry. Basically, we lack the rudimentary infrastructure to actually support some of the small businesses. So that's why we see a lot of them failing, because they have to like factor in costs that all things being equal, if they were probably in some developed country, they wouldn't have to. Things like power supply, transportation is also a really large part of their like cost, because the roads are bad, there's traffic, they're spending unnecessary money on fuel, time is wasted, all these things. And this all sort of trickles down into the kind of experience that these business owners are able to provide for their customers, because if largely the traffic situation is not my fault, it's not something that can be controlled by me, and then my customer sort of expects me to deliver something at 11 o'clock and I'm coming at 3 p.m., right? So what kind of experience am I providing to them, right? Yeah. What kind of, am I fulfilling my brand promises? And this is really important. These are really, really large things that affect how customers will want to relate with you in future, or even if they want to even refer their friends or things like that.
Yeah, and at the same time, like, this is their niche. If you don't have a parallel career, like, you're gone. You probably wouldn't be able to survive. You get what I mean? Like, yeah, you do 9-to-5 jobs. Mm. You're probably, for instance, a data analyst, and then you probably wouldn't be able to survive on your salary alone. You need something. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Everyone is just starting something, because your 9-to-5 job would not provide the, like, what you need to actually live up to your means. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I understand you.
Yeah, you get a good job. Most of your money goes to like utility bills and the rest, and then fixing cars because of bad roads. And you need something to give you the extra luxury you need. So,
another thing I would say is, yeah, you're very correct. What you find is that in our sort of economy in Nigeria, we find majority of employers wanting to take advantage of the labor force. They want good work to be done, but they don't want to pay what market rate is for some of these jobs. And what you find is that someone is even doing the job of 2-3 persons and earning the salary of half a person. So I could be doing a job that somebody, all things being equal, should be getting paid $500,000 for, and I'm doing three of those jobs, but then I'm earning under $200,000. Right. So what that does is it starts to create this sort of imbalance in the minds of these millennials, because to sort of agree with the idea in the minds of the generation before us on how millennials are. I think, I would say to an extent, we are a bit entitled, and it's not in a bad way, all right? It's just that we expect more because we understand the value that we could be adding to these organizations, or the value that we are adding to these organizations, and we feel like we deserve more for more than what we're actually getting from these guys in return. So what happens is you see someone who all things being equal, the previous generation, someone was doing the same job and was entirely satisfied with whatever he was getting out of it. But then a younger person comes into this job now, and then he expects more because all things being equal, we are actually giving out this value, and we should be compensated for it.
And at the same time, you can't even be like contented. You want an iPhone 11 Pro. Like, let's be honest. You want an iPhone 11 Pro. You don't want to use a Techno phone.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean?
Yeah,
at the same time, it's not really about, like I said, the money. People want to just be independent. People want their independence. People want to... it's really hard, but people want to decide when they go to bed and when they wake up in the morning.
Mm, very important.
People want to decide that. And, you know, this day and age, you know, like... people are not looking for time. They are looking for value. You provide value, 2 a.m. value, and they are fine. Rather than coming to work at around 9 a.m. and then just wasting time. So it's a bit crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you're very correct. I like to give like a typical example of something that a personal example anyways, because currently the way the landscape is sort of moving on a more international level, not just in Nigeria right now, is you start to see a lot of remote companies come into life, right? So what this is they try to run sort of distributed teams with employees from many different states or countries or nationalities, and they function over the internet, all right? So what happens is there's no longer the barrier of 9 to 5, right? So I could wake up at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
If it's convenient for me, I could fire up my laptop. Sure. I could put in some work, and in about 5 to 6 hours, I'm done, all right? Yeah. I could spread out my 8-hour workday onto maybe 2 to 3 portions. I could start at 10 to 1, and I could do 3 to 5, and I could do maybe 9 to 11, sort of. I don't know if the calculation is right, but sort of you get the idea, right? So that's what's happening. And I think it is largely very intuitive, because I don't think there's anyone right now who goes to work at 8 a.m. and actually does work until 5 p.m. right? There's a lot of breaks in between. There's chatting with coworkers. There's lounging around. There's probably even people who just go on social media, scrolling through their Instagram. And all these little moments of value that are being missed in the workday, they largely trickle down into the kind of company people are running, into the kind of companies people are running, and the level of service they could provide to the customers. Because you find this is a really big issue, like in our country. You find customer service representatives not wanting to interact with the customers they're supposed to be serving, largely because they're tired.
Yeah.
All right. So I come to work at 8 a.m. and I close at 8 p.m. And from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., customers are shouting at me over things that might not even be my fault directly. All right. So maybe there's technical issues and things like that. And I have to calm these people down and do this 5 days a week. Sometimes they even make me work overtime, coming to work on the weekends. All right. So what happens if, for instance, they could take a cue from these remote companies starting out and say, people here, you could work from home. All right.
Yeah.
Just make sure you do the work. Put in the hours. We want to see your performance levels be very optimal. Yeah, we just want to see the value that you're adding onto us, and we are okay with it. We'll pay you market rate. You could stay at home working your PJs.
Yeah.
You could stroll to your kitchen
if you're working in your pajamas, it's like when you're doing the video call, just put on a tie and shirt.
Yeah,
like you can come out in your boxers. Like no one really cares.
Oh Jesus! So yeah. So that's what you're seeing anyways, because people are starting to kind of revolt.
Yeah.
All right, especially in this country, Nigeria. I will not know a 21-year-old who will want to do the work of 4 people knowingly and be earning PTK. It's not scalable.
So not to be the bringer of bad news, but let's look at some minority reports. I think Fission Designs, they listed 6 failed Nigerian startups. We had Deal Day that I think they shut down 2019. I don't know why they shut down, but they did. You have Go My Way. Go My Way was something that should have. I think Taxify kind of took over it. It was like the sharing platform and so on, but I don't know how they were to monetize that. And then you have the big Conga, but I think they were bought in, so they're fine. You had OLX, I think the reason was because they were no one could trust anybody on OLX. So no one could buy anything on OLX. And if there's no traffic on your site, you're not making money. Easy Taxi, the same thing. I think the rest of Uber and so on bullied them. And then you have like the major reasons why these startups fail. Like, there's no market need for these startups. I think that's like 42% of why these things fail. You're looking at Go My Way. Like, when I can use Taxify that is, I think, pretty much affordable, why do I need to share with anyone? And how do you even monetize Go My Way? You have they ran out of cash.
Guys, I hope you're listening. before you start a business, make sure you do your research. Make sure people actually need what you're trying to provide. Yeah.
They ran out of cash, like no cash. 29% ran out of cash. You have not the right team. They didn't get the right team. 23% of them didn't have the right team. Pricing cost issues. I think that's even down to research. 18% of them. Poor product. This is like, everyone can relate. The poor product. 17%. You're creating an app and it's not user friendly. I'm not coming back to it. And one thing that struck me again was ignoring customers. 14%. Poor marketing. 14%. You can't really blame. Nowadays, Instagram, they have every reason to be blamed for poor marketing.
I'd like to take you back to something you pointed out a few seconds ago.
Yeah.
You talked about not getting the right team.
Yeah, 23%.
What can you say to people who are sort of struggling with maybe hiring the right teammates or getting the right team together to actually pull off an idea? Because some of these ideas, they actually seem like pretty solid.
Yeah.
So for the reason for them failing to be not having the right team, I'll say that there might be an issue with actually recruiting the right team, especially in Nigerian landscape. So what do you think startup founders could sort of keep in mind going into the process?
This is actually really difficult to answer because I was at a TechPoint event recently. I think when this basketballer came and they asked this particular question, how do you hire the right developers? Like, half of the time, developers are busy doing their own thing. I mean, you're paying me 150K probably per month, and these guys, I'm doing freelance, and they're going to pay me 300K per, like, the application and so on. Which, I mean, I'm going to actually fix my mind on these other guys. So I think one thing people should do with their teams is to get, like, lay it out to the open. And I think this is the way to even sort it out. Let people buy into your company. Like, people you start up with. I don't think, is there, like, paying them at first. I think they should have, like, a shareholding in your company. If you get what I mean.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, because if they feel part of the company, they are going to give their 101% to their company. I saw a saying that said, if you have 50% and your partner has 50%, worry about your 50%. I think like that's not even realistic. If you worry about your 50% and he's not worrying about his 50%, the business will still crash regardless.
Yeah.
So at the same time, like, if you have 50% of the business, you have to worry about 100% of the business. And make sure your partner is worrying about 100% of the business as well. So I think it's because, like, there's no vision. It's not passed across to the rest of the team. And so they pretty much don't even, you get what I mean? They don't even, like, they just see it as a normal 9-to-5 job. And they're being, so at first you need to actually build the culture. Like, culture is very important. I don't know.
Okay, so another thing that I'd like to add to what Louis just said about the situation with the 50% and having a vision that's passed across to, like, everyone. So another thing that I've noticed is with Nigerian startups is it's largely a focus on quantity over quality.
Oh, yeah.
All right? So what happens is people want to sort of focus on these vanity metrics, all right?
Yeah.
We're winning Forbes on 30 under 30 awards, or we just hired another person last week.
Just to cut you shortly, what you exactly said is part of this report, like early hype.
Yeah. It's
like they take advertising to the next level. There's big hype. and then you can't even match up with what you're hyped about.
Yeah, so like you have to be able to sort of back what you're saying out in the public, right? So you have to be what you are in the public. So if it means sticking to developers and working at it instead of trying to scale up too fast to hire 11 developers when you can't even afford to pay your two developers market rate, I think you actually have to take a step back, think about what you're doing and how it is going to affect your business, right? So you should take a step back.
Yeah.
If two developers is what you can afford, or one developer, if it's going to take them 7 months to pull off the project, let it take them 7 months.
There's no rush.
Yeah, there's no rush. Focus on the product. Focus on the quality that you're going to be delivering. Focus on the quality of life you're trying to provide for your employees. Focus on the type of culture you're trying to build. Be patient and just keep going, because scaling up too fast, the whole getting caught up in the hype, this company is this, when this company is actually not this, it's going to blow back in your face soon.
If you watch Silicon Valley, you will just see the whole explanation. In Silicon Valley, like, there is hype. You're not able to meet up with the hype. Your business crashes.
Exactly.
Like, it's really funny. You have, just to mention others, you have, like, bad location, 9%. Legal challenges, 8%. Don't use network advisors, 8%. Pivots gone wrong, 10%. Losing focus, 13%.
Could you speak a little bit to the entire legal thing? Because I heard recently that, for instance, something as beautiful as Gokada is trying to be locked down by our government. So how does that work? Because I think the first time I took Gokada was last week, and it was an experience because I was on the bridge at in Tulare coming from the island, and a trailer fell on the way, right? I was sitting in traffic in a Taxify for almost an hour, and we all know that the price keeps going up, like the longer you're in the ride. So I had the bright idea to quickly download the Gokada app on my phone and just order a ride. The guy came to meet me where I was in the Taxify, and I just took it. It was under 50 minutes to get home. Yeah. All right, so what happens when something as beautiful as that, such an innovative idea, is not being supported by our government? And
so just to mention, like, so that was a good report, but there have been reports where they are extremely rough drivers.
Mm.
So I think one of the ways the company should have noticed, like, if they did their own customer research, if they talked to their customers, because if you have like a rating system, a comment system, and you talk to your customers, you realize that, okay, these guys are actually quite rough. And then when that happens, you call your guys back in, and then you do reorientative training for them on how to be safe. Because there was a report that came in, someone that worked in last week, and he said the amount of these Gokada guys that come every time for accident related, it's rising. And I think, why would the government, okay, so you want to ban them, why can't you just ban them from like the major routes and just leave? Would that even work?
I don't think that would work, because a large selling point is them actually being able to get you from point A to point B, no matter where point B is.
Yeah.
So I think what you're saying kind of makes sense. I didn't have like the full details of, but what you're saying actually makes sense.
But to be fair, I don't even know why that's the reason government is going to ban them.
It makes sense if that's the reason, because what is happening is, I mean, I don't think the Gokada riders are having the accidents by themselves. They're likely carrying passengers at the same time. So if they're endangering the lives of the citizens, then it might be a valid reason.
It might actually just, like, the government is trying to clamp down on, like, the Okada scenario entirely, and Gokada just happened to fall under these guys. It's really crazy.
I'm really going to miss it if it goes. I'm really going to miss it.
Guys that fly all the time, just prepare to miss your flights. If these guys are out of the way, just prepare to miss your flights.
Whoa.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to us.
Thank you.
Please like, subscribe, and keep supporting us. We'll see you next week.